Praise the Lord. God bless you this morning. This is our fourth day where we are bringing in a little message. How God sent them saviors. Of course, when I say things like that, people might say there is only one savior. Well, there is only one begotten Son of God. But remember, Jesus Christ is a creation. He was created by God. So Jesus Christ is not God himself, he's not God the Father, but he is the Son of God. And in the Bible, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 15, you can read the story about Adam. There is the first Adam, and there is the second Adam. And of course, the first Adam was the Adam in the Garden of Eden. And the second Adam in that expression is the Lord Jesus Christ. So that tells us Adam was once a man without sin, but because of disobedience, corruption entered into his body and he died. When Jesus Christ was born out of Mary the Virgin, Jesus Christ was not the egg produced by Mary. It was not the seed, the sperm produced by Joseph, but it was an egg and a sperm produced by God and put into the womb of Mary. So Mary then becomes a surrogate mother. Well, we can discuss these things up and down for months and years. But today, a surrogate mother is not a strange thing anymore, because science, doctors, they can do the very thing. They can put an egg that are ready to blossom, the sperm, and they put it in a woman's womb. So when science can do it, how can it be that God cannot do it? So that tells us, brothers and sisters, God in his unique way is preparing a way for the human race so that they can be God's great family. And Jesus Christ became that answer. He was a perfect son. He had no sin in him, perfect in all ways. And when he was 30 years of age, then the Spirit of God started anointing him to fulfill the part that he was going to be the Savior of the world. It took Jesus about 3.5 years to complete the job. And of course, he had such power and such demonstrations out of the calling that was upon him, that the people were astonished at the works. But they had one big problem. They had developed this way. Only God can do those things. And when people come and they do the very thing, and they say, I will be healed, raised, and Lazarus come out, and on in these terms, then the people are provoked, because in their spirit, they have a desire to become a God for themselves. But when they see the works of Jesus, they know, my, we are far away from getting into that position. So Jesus actually provoked them without really having the desire to do it that way. He only wanted to show them that God, his Father, was anointing him to complete the job so that the human race again could be linked in as the a family of God. Let us go back now to the scriptures, and I want to go to the book of Judges. And we will see here what the Lord is doing. I'm just going to Judges. I'm just scanning through my biblical scriptures here. It is in chapter 2. And I want to go to verse 10. All right. So let us see what it says here in the scriptures. And now, I hope that you will focus with me upon what Jesus said. Because he told the Jews in his own days that here, when you look at me, then you are accusing me of being God. And then he responds and he says, isn't it like this, that whom the word comes to, and when that person whom the word comes to expresses the will of God, doesn't he then become as a God? You are gods, and the scriptures cannot be denied, or replaced, or taken away. All right, so Jesus is actually saying that the people before him that were anointed by God, they were also, in a way, miniature gods. Let us look at what the Bible says here. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says, and also all that generation that were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah, nor yet the works which he had wrought for Israel. So here, remember now, if you go back to Judges chapter 2, you're actually going back to the time where Israel had just entered into the promised land. And there are now taking the land inch by inch, foot by foot, mile by mile, until they are supposed to own the land. But what is happening is that everyone that had the experience, they walked through the Red Sea. They saw all the 10 miracles that God did back in Israel in those days. I mean, back in Egypt in those days. And the 40 years in the wilderness, where the pillar of fire was with them every night for 40 years. And the pillar of cloud was with them also during the day for 40 years. So Israel was so used to see the power of God, the demonstration of cloud and light, and the demonstration in all other ways and fractions of life where God performed miracles in the wilderness. But here, when they now come into the new land, there's actually from the Red Sea until they come in to the new land, all of the old nation, the people that lived in Egypt, had died out because there was only two men that were able to get into the promised land, that crossed the Red Sea with Moses. And that was Joshua and Caleb. All right, I won't go any deeper into that. But here it also says in verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered to their fathers. So that means when the people that were traveling in the wilderness for 40 years, when they came into the promised land, of course, now they started living there. But of course, they also get older. And then finally, all the old experience that God had performed for the children of Israel, it died with the people. But I am certain that all the remnant that walked in the wilderness for 40 years, when they got their children and their children's children, I believe that they instructed, they told the stories, they made the stories lively before the people so that they never would forget it. So I believe the very people that are now standing here, and it says, there rose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah. Let that sink in for a minute. There rose up a generation that did not know Jehovah. But don't you think that they've heard about him? Hey, remember us. We're living here in 2026. We know about the crossing of the Red Sea. We know about the 40 years in the wilderness. We know about Israel and all the things that have happened there. Hey, that's into our memory. But does it really affect us? Does it change our lives? Does history really change you? That's the big question. Because here it says, the children of Israel, in verse 11, after the 10th verse says, they knew not Jehovah, nor yet the works which he had wrought for Israel. So that's all history now. Verse 11, and the children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah. And they served Balaam. And they forsook Jehovah, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves down unto them, and they provoked Jehovah to anger. My Lord, think about it. Just one generation after all this has happened, the next generation starts to fade away. They don't care anymore. It's all history, and they're searching for new opportunities in life. So here, and they forsook Jehovah, verse 13, and served Baal and Astaroth. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that despoil them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithever soever they went out, the hand of Jehovah was against them for evil, as to Jehovah had spoken, and as Jehovah had sworn unto them, and they were sore distressed. So here, even if we have a history of things that has happened, God has been mighty with his people, but it is history, and they don't see it. They grow up not knowing the Lord. And I can say, there is another word I can put in there, about. I believe that they knew about the Lord. They knew the history, but they did not know the Lord present. Because, right, we need to have the Lord present in our midst. We need his guiding spirit to help us to walk in his favor. And the only way to do that is to walk with him and having him to inspire us. Then, here comes the clue where I am using the title, He Sent Them Saviors. Jehovah raised up judges or saviors. Verse 16, I'm still in the book of Judges, in chapter 2, verse 16. And Jehovah raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those that despoiled them. And they hearkened not unto their judges, for they played the harlot after other gods, and bowed themselves down unto them. They turned aside quickly out of the way wherein their fathers walked, obeying the commandments of Jehovah, but they did not do so. All right. So, and when Jehovah raised them up judges, then Jehovah was with the judge and saved them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented Jehovah because of their groaning by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. So here, when you read that part, Jehovah God raised up judges or saviors because he wanted to save them. Yeah. But the people, they didn't even believe their saviors, their judges. That's the strange thing. The funny thing about these things is that when God starts to reveal his presence to a person, that person becomes a target. He is a problem for the natural man. He's not a problem for the spiritual man, because the spiritual man, he will detect it and he will really work and understand what's going on. I have a little scripture in Mark chapter 4. And it is about the ground that the Lord has, he uses a parable of the sower who sows seed. And then I just want to read a short little verse in here so that you can understand what I'm pointing at. So chapter 4, verse 17, Mark 4, 17. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, straightway they stumble. And verse 18, and others, remember, these are people, they're all hearing the truth. And they all, should I say, understand the truth to a certain extent. But there's something in them that strives and fights against the truth of the matter. And here, verse 18. And others are they that are sown among the thorns. Remember, the seed that is sown is the word of God. And that is what you are going to detect. This is the word of God. This is the will of God. This is the way of God, right? But when it is sown among thorns, what is the thorns? It is not the heart of people. It is the circumstances in life. It's the devil's device to distract you, to pull you away from what you know is the truth. Verse 18, and others are they that are sown among the thorns. These are they that have heard the word. Remember, they hear the word, they know the word is right, but there is something in them. And it says here, verse 19, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, and it chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You may say, hey, I'm innocent. It just happens. No, we are not innocent. And it just doesn't just happen. It is a complete work of Lucifer to try to distract you and me from the truth of the matter. And he uses the world. He uses deceitfulness of riches. He uses the lust of other things that enters in. And it chokes the word. Remember, the word is the truth. But because of your mind that is split and thinking of so much other things, the word becomes unfruitful. It doesn't have the time to grow inside you. You don't give it the time because you are reasoning it away. Hey, that is the modern day. And do you think that was any different back in those days when we read in Judges chapter 2, they knew not the Lord? And then because God loves his people, remember, he created us with the desire to lead us into eternal life so we can have an eternity with him in communication. Oh, brothers and sisters, that is God's love. Therefore, when he sees that the people are led astray, they don't really go into the scriptures, they don't go into prayer, they don't have a desire to walk close with him. You know what God does then? He wakes them up. And he sends a judge. He sends a savior. And he speaks to the savior. He speaks to the judge. Or you can call it a seer, a prophet. Hey, the Bible has 66 books. And a lot of them is in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament refers to the seers or the prophets, the men of God that God spoke to. And those men, they were the guidance line for the people so that they could come back into peace and joy and fellowship with God. Aye. That's the truth of the matter. God loves you and me. Therefore, he sends us saviors, or he sends us spiritual revelation that will awaken the soul, the inner man in us, so that we will look through deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things that choke the world, the word, so it wouldn't become unfruitful. My, that's the wonderful part about God. He sends saviors. Yeah. But in verse 19, Judges 2, 19, it came to pass when the judges was dead that the people turned back, dealt more corruptly than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their doings, nor from their stubborn way. All right, I have here given you a clue so that you can understand that, hey, even Jesus Christ was the one who bought us back to God by his faithfulness, because he had no sin. He was the only one who could purchase the price to bring the human race back to God. But God sent saviors in diverse manners all through the ages. The 6,000 years are full of saviors in different generations that God raised up to remind the people that, hey, follow me and you will have eternal life. So it's very important that we understand everyone that God inspires is a tool to help you and me to receive and remain having eternal life, right? It brings us back into the new birth. Repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the tool for God to start to operate in our lives. And there are gifts of the Spirit that God will use in the body of Christ, in the church, even today. And those things are made there to make us be reminded of a living God that cares for us. So therefore, he sends saviors even in our day. And I want you, when you see God in operation in your own day, then remember, there may be a savior. Not Jesus Christ, don't get me wrong, but there are spiritual leadership, and it is needed in your and my day. If we don't have that, how would we be able to see anything? You might say, I can read the Bible, I can read the scriptures. Yes, and do it. Do it all the time. I pray that you will stay true and faithful to the Bible, to God's word. But remember, God's word is the tool to make you look up so that you can start praying and have contact with him. And he can speak to you and lead you and make you fulfill the destiny of your life, the reason for you to come here to earth and be that tool that God can be proud of. I pray that you will understand what I'm saying here. God raised up saviors all through history, and the greatest of them was Jesus the Christ. But remember, we still need saviors in our day so that we can see what God is doing in our time. May the Lord bless you. We have one more day, and I pray that you will enjoy listening and reading and praying and seeking the leadership of God. Amen.